Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the book of Mark, the first chapter. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming good news of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. So this morning, we are continuing our Witness to the Light series, and we're honored to have Pastor Janelle Hooper joining us this morning. So I'm going to invite Pastor Janelle up to join me here on the steps. And I didn't remember to turn your microphone on, so we're going to check this for you really quick, because otherwise, we won't be able to hear you. There we go. So Pastor Janelle serves as a campus minister for both the University of Houston and Rice University as part of Lutheran Campus Ministries. And so she is here to share with us this morning about what it's like to witness to the light on college campuses, especially here in Houston, but what that looks like across the board. So if we want to start this morning just by telling us a little bit of your story and how you came to be a part of Lutheran Campus Ministries here in Houston.
So I've been a pastor. I served congregations in Chicago and then came down here to Houston to accept a call. And it turned out that campus ministry worked out. I've been working in campus ministry since August doing this, and that's been exciting. This has been a ministry, though, in your synod since the late 90s. Gulf Coast Synod decided that, we're missing this big boat about, it doesn't just have to be a congregation where Christian communities meet, but how do we bring the good news to people who are on college campuses? So we've had Houston Lutheran Campus Ministry since the late 90s, which is just an extension of you. So it's your ministry, it's your money, it's your stewardship, it's your prayers, it's your engagement with us, and I'm just your hands on the college campus. So for instance, like when a student recently had a grandparent die. The parent called me and said, "Pastor, you're the one who's close. Can you reach out to her?" And I'm like, "Absolutely. That's what I'm here for." They're away from home, and so we're the community there of faith to support and encourage and be church on your behalf.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning and driving up and being here. And so when you're thinking about this series that we're doing, that kind of Witness to the Light idea, what comes to mind when you hear that phrase, Witness to the Light, and how does that connect with what you're trying to do at U of H and at Rice?
Well, I think witnessing to the light is experiencing healing and wholeness and knowing that you're enough and that God's love covers you. And that's a good word for college students who all the more these days feel the pressure in academia and or through social media to have their lives together and to have it picture perfect for Facebook and everything else. And there's so much pressure, whether it's coming from parents or jobs and such, that they need to know that they're enough and that they're loved by God. And as they're going through these big questioning transition moments in their lives, trying to figure out, who they are, I hear all the time, "What does God want me to do?" And they're searching and they're struggling and they need a safe place to ask those questions, a non-judgmental place that says, God's here walking along, journeying with you, and gives them a place also as an outlet for so many of them to do service. Because, like any of us, we can get caught up in our day-to-day and they get caught up in their school and their grades. And so they also love doing service ministry because it not only feels good, as but you just remember that school isn't everything. So we help provide some of those really good service
opportunities. You and I talked earlier about a kind of prayer shawl ministry that you share with your students.
I meant to bring it.
Yeah. That's all right. Can you share a little bit with us about what that is and how that is used for the students?
Yeah. So prayer shawls are amazing. I don't know if y'all do that here. I did see a knitting and crocheting and quilting and such. Our students, I'm always impressed when they make time to come to anything that we do because they're always telling us how busy they are. So they often come with a lot going on. And so during our check-in time, if somebody needs to feel those prayers wrapped around them with the prayer shawl, they get the prayer shawl. Sometimes it passes around the room during the time because We know that it was made by, we have several of them made by different people in different congregations, and so it's one of the ways, for instance, for you to show your support that we really are your hands and your prayers, so that they feel that wrapped around them during that time. And if they're having an exceptionally bad week, they're welcome to take it with them for the week. And I haven't had a problem with them bringing one back.
Yeah.
And it's also what we give them for graduation as they go out, knowing that those prayers are with them.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's really wonderful. So I would imagine that witnessing to the light, it looks a lot different on a college campus than it probably does for us here in the suburbs of Houston up in the Woodlands. So what does that entail for you? What are the relationships like? What does it mean to witness to the light as a campus pastor?
Well, we're in close quarters with people who are different from us.
Okay.
And I think we are here too. You know, sometimes even our own congregations, we have different beliefs about things. But I think they're all the more present and being worked out.
Yeah.
Because one of the wonderful things about college is they're asking so many questions and discerning so much. It's not just academics they're trying to figure out. And so they have all kinds of questions. And so I mentioned that, like, at the University of Houston, we have an office with about 15 other campus ministries, and right next door is Missouri Synod Lutheran Campus Ministry, and we share a wall. And so our doors both say Lutheran, but what I hear through the wall is a very different theology than what I share. Across the hall is a Methodist, and next door is the Hillel, the Jewish Society. And so we really rub elbows a lot, and it provides a wonderful opportunity to be in dialogue with people who are different. Coming up in February, we have an interfaith week at both U of H and at Rice, where Muslims, Hindus, Jews, Catholic, Protestants, we put on a whole week of a variety of different things. We'll have our Protestant Reformation panel.
There you go.
You know, Reformation talking about
501st anniversary this year. 501st. Yeah.
Talking about what difference that has made.
Yeah.
And so there are opportunities to do things on campus, to have panels, to have speakers, that's really accessible to witness to the light. Next week we have Pastor Kirsten Springmeier, who is our ELCA chaplain at Texas Children's Hospital. She does palliative care.
Wow.
So you can imagine these little tiny little babies caring for them and their families. And actually several of our students are very interested in death and dying.
Oh.
And so they've been begging for us to have her come speak to us about that. And so just college campuses allow for this really faith formation, conversation, dialogue, whether it's interfaith or just Lutheran conversation. So
what I really love about the picture that you're painting for us is that it really does become an extension of the ministry that we offer here, right? That we're unable necessarily to be on college campuses across the country and even University of Houston or Rice, but to know that there's still a vision and an opportunity for God's grace to be projected onto this campus and to shine in that world is really powerful. I'm wondering if there's a story or a time that you can think of when that was a particularly prevalent or poignant moment maybe for you to witness the way that being a Lutheran pastor on the campus was particularly meaningful to be able to share the witness on our behalf and on behalf of congregations across the country.
Yeah, right when I started as an interim for the ministry, the tragic shootings in Orlando happened at that nightclub, and I had just been a few months in, and the whole university at U of H wanted to do something. And so we worked with the dean's office and the LGBTQ Resource Center and the Women's Center, and three pastors out of 15 plus led that service. And it was a standing room only service at U of H. And I really feel like we were able to shine the light of Christ's love and welcome. Because several LGBTQ people after the service who I spoke with said, I had never been welcome in a church before. I have never had a conversation with a pastor before who accepted me. And to be able to know that our theology welcomes all people and supports and is there for them, that was a real door opening for us on campus so that we can help serve the whole campus.
Yeah, that's really wonderful. So When you're hearing those sorts of experiences, and then you're thinking about our gospel for today, where we've got Jesus, you know, calling these now disciples out of their life of fishermen, saying, you know, put it all down and come and follow me. How do you see that kind of connecting with this idea of witnessing to the light and with the ministry and life that you're supporting down on the U of H and Rice campuses?
Well, I think the hope is that witnessing is always taking place in unexpected ways, but also unexpected ways through churches and through parents. And so when I hear that text, I think about, well, what did Zebedee and his wife do to raise up their children so that when Jesus was walking by, what did their faith community do so that they were ready to say yes when Jesus called? And so that's where I think about our partnership as faith communities. You know, what you're doing. I just spoke with a young adult from here who has an amazing experience here, feels loved here, feels welcomed here, and so seeks that out as she has gone to college and wants that because you have laid that groundwork. And so we have a director of vocation who is a part of our ministry who has these intentional conversations with our young people to say, you know, God is calling you. Whether you're going to be a pastor is beyond, you know, not necessarily a thing. You're going to be an engineer. You're going to be a nurse. Where is God calling you to use those gifts, like the fisherman, you know, in new and amazing ways? So I think the church, you know, has so much to offer. People who have gone through faith experiences and life transitions have so much to offer our young people, and they need to have that wisdom. And then our young people are there. They have all kinds of gifts to offer the church, too. And so it's important that leaving the boat, that they are grounded in that, but that they're also welcome back once they've gotten those fish, and then that there's a place for them when they come back to church. Because I also hear from several young adults that they don't feel like they can find a church home when they're done with college and that they can connect with. So I think that constant conversation about fishing and sharing faith is really important.
I love how you're kind of helping us turn that image on its head a little bit, right? That we become the boat out of which our own children are being called, saying, you know, we've raised them up to this point, and we all know at some point, you know, even if they're currently crying in church, right? Eventually, they're gonna be called out of this boat, and they're gonna be called into the world. And you know, to think about how Dietrich Bonhoeffer would talk about vocation, right? That it's where our great passion and the world's greatest need align, and it's at that intersection that we find our vocation, and that we lay the groundwork for that, and you get to continue that process to help them see what are these ways that Jesus is continuing to call you to follow him. So for your kind of day-to-day, for your students, what does following Jesus look like for a group of college students who are moving through a world that is often not Christian or not at least not actively engaged in Christian faith and or is supporting a Christian theology that does not align with what you would be teaching and proclaiming? How do we walk through that? How do we continue to follow Jesus in your vision there?
Yeah, I would say particularly at Rice University, these are valedictorians of their schools. They're highly competitive. They're very smart. And so they want to enter a conversation to win.
Wow.
And they don't want to be seen as vulnerable or really want a dialogue about it, to be honest. And so my students at Rice come to me and this is what came up with our mission statement, really helped do this, an open community welcoming faith exploration.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Because they want a place to explore, because when you're right all the time, you can't explore.
Yeah.
You know, and so faith is an ever deepening event in our life. And so they want to be able to know how to have conversations with their friends about faith or when a topic comes up as it relates to faith, whether that's sexuality or politics or why they're going vegan, or, you know, they want to be able to relate that to their faith. And so we do talk about how to have your own beliefs and feelings, but to share in conversation, which I is ever needed.
Well, and it's such a great thing for us to be reminded of as well, right? Because in so many facets of our culture, we're hearing that it's more important to be right than to be heard or than to be in dialogue with another party. And so to be reminded that there's a place within our faith to have those conversations, not necessarily that ultimately change our mind or our position, but to hear how we enter into dialogue with people who are in a process, and that all of that is a piece of following Jesus, right? That having those conversations challenges us to follow Jesus even more closely. That now that someone else has said, well, what if you went this way? You say, no, I'm even more certain that this is the path that I need to be on, and how that lifts up that vision. That's really very powerful, and I appreciate that. So for you, if you think about a particular story or a time, I'm going to give you two options. Either a time when you felt like your ministry did a particularly powerful job of witnessing to the light on behalf of the community, or a time when your community witnessed to the light for you, how you would like to share that with us.
Yeah.
Or both, I guess.
Both.
Yeah.
No, that's fine. I'm actually would love to talk about a retreat that we just had last weekend, because that was the light shining for me, for sure. I was really proud to be a part of a church that could talk about spirituality and sexuality. The University of Houston, Rice, Texas A&M, and Blinn, we all got together at Luther Hill last weekend. And we talked openly about our sexuality as a gift from God and how to treat ourselves with respect and how to treat others with respect and explored some biblical texts deeper and just let them ask any question they had. Yeah. And I just felt like so proud that church could be a place of open conversation around such important topics, especially college students who are engaged in different activities. And so I was really proud of the church. That's where I see the light happening, to be in context with people about faith in their bodies. I heard young adults just make important decisions saying they had never known about just how much God loved them and their bodies, and they had never thought quite so much about what it looks like to treat themselves and others with respect, and they talked about it being life-transforming for their life and how they were going to tell their friends things that they knew now, because we talk about where do you learn things, and it's, they admitted, I learned this from a friend, but I don't know if it's true, know, or I got it from the internet. And so now we had a nurse practitioner there and four pastors, so they were able to say, I've learned this.
Yeah.
I know this is true about me or about a body, and they actually said, I'm going to go tell my friends about this.
Wow.
And so to me, that's light. That's testimony. That's sharing. That's hearing the good news about our sexuality and being able to, they want to share it with the friends. I didn't be like, go back now to your campus. And they were like, I'm so excited to tell.
Right, and I think that's kind of the vision that we get in this story today, right? That Jesus says, follow me, and they just drop everything to run after him, because when we encounter that love of God face to face, when we have someone take the time to go on retreat with us and speak so openly to say, you are loved, right? You are valuable. You are a precious gift given to the world by this God who created you, that we're just overwhelmed by the joy of that, and we want to continue to share that. And I think that's where the ministry that you do really connects with this theme that we have of witnessing to the light, right? Because there's just that little glimpse. What starts is just maybe even just a spark of a conversation saying God loves you, can turn into this flame of light that shines across the campus, in an otherwise often dark and sometimes terrifying time in our lives, right? To go through college, to be told that you have to be perfect, to be told that you have to get the best grades and get into the best master's program, and that, your college degree isn't worth anything anymore. You have to get a doctorate or whatever, right? And all these fears that overcome us, and yet to be reminded, you are loved, and to hear that again and again. We are so grateful for the work that you all do on our behalf to continue to share that message of love. And so I'm going to push you a little bit, because you shared with us at the earlier service, and I just think it's a powerful story, so I'm going to ask you to share it again. But if there's a time when your students witnessed to you, to the light, and what that felt like for you, and what it was like to kind of have the tables turned, if you will.
Well, I have to say, they witness to me all the time, because I'm not a night person, and I have to do campus ministry, and I'll be like, I don't want to go, and then I go, and I'm always full of energy afterwards, because the conversations are so powerful, so they witness to me on a regular basis. But one time in particular, one of my very best friends died of 20 years, and she was the godmother of my son. She had married my husband and I. She had preached my ordination. She was everything to me. And she died unexpectedly, and I had to leave. And When I came back, some of my students wrote me a card. And it wasn't just like a Hallmark card where they just signed their names to it. They had each written like a paragraph.
Wow.
Of like really thoughtful, theological, yeah. comforting and supportive words. And so it was just, you know, you show up, sometimes one or two people come,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, okay,
yeah.
you know? And then it comes through where they witness that light back to you, and you're like, they're getting it,
yeah.
and they're sharing it.
Yeah.
And they're sharing it.
Yeah, that's really wonderful. Thank you so much. And thank you for coming and sharing your stories
yeah.
with us this morning. You know, this really is an extension of the ministry that we're able to do here at Lord of Life. And so it's an opportunity for us, through our partnership with the Synod, to continue to support campus ministries, both here in the Houston area and across the Synod and across the country. You know, Pastor Gary and I were sharing with Janelle this morning how both of us were formed in our own faiths in campus ministries. I had a chance to go to a Lutheran school, so that's a little different image altogether, but then also worked in campus ministry while I was in seminary. Pastor Gary up in Wisconsin had that connection. I think many of us probably have those touch points where at some point in these formative years of our faith, these moments when we were told you have to leave the boat, you have to go out into the world, right? Somebody had this kind of touch point of our faith that said, you are still loved, you are still valuable, and we were shaped and formed because of that. And Janelle, so thank you so much for doing that on our behalf. And so as we hear this today, and as we think about our theme that's ongoing, this witness to the light idea, that we are the ones who are being called, right? That it's not just our college students who are being called to leave the boat and go out and explore the world, but each of us every day are hearing again this call, that call that started in our baptism when we're marked with the cross of Christ and sealed with the Holy Spirit forever, that continues through our formation in faith, it continues through our worship and our prayer life, it continues as we come to the meal each and every week to eat of this bread and wine, to be reminded of the gifts of God poured out for us. And it continues as we hear this gospel this morning, as Jesus speaks to each of us, follow me. And so our challenge for you this morning, as you hear this word, as you're reminded of this incredible gift, that you are loved, that you are forgiven, that Jesus is here for you, that God has created you to be a part of this community, as you hear all of this gift, the challenge that comes with that is now, what does it mean to follow Jesus? And how are you being called to follow me this morning? Whether it's to get out of your boat completely, whether it's just to turn your boat a little bit to the left or the right, where are you being called to drop your nets, whatever those might be, and follow Jesus? And so that's our challenge for you in the midst of this opportunity to hear God's grace poured out again. And thank you again, Janelle,
thank
so
you.
Much for joining us. God loves each of you, and I do too.